Welcome to It's a Crazy World, where musicians discuss the unique lifestyles of today's artists. If you want to know how to get through the craziness of the world of music as you reach for your dreams, you won't want to miss this episode of It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to It's a Crazy World this evening. We are going to be speaking to Isabella May Berkeley from England. Isabella May is a fascinating woman. Not only is she in the process of writing a book and working on her fourth album, but she's also putting together a one-on-one training program for artists. Her voice is gorgeous, but not only is her music beautiful, it has a purpose, which she will also be sharing with you. Her passion and her love for music and people really shines through. She's going to be sharing her story about how she was able to overcome some hardships and find the freedom to be who she was really meant to be. You're going to love her positive attitude and her energy. So right now we're going to listen to one of her songs, Echo Your Love. So enjoy, stay tuned, and we'll be back with Isabella right after this.
Thank you.
We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome to It's a Crazy World. I am so excited today to be speaking to Isabel. Now, do you go by Isabel Berkeley? I've seen it a couple different ways. Isabel Amy Berkeley?
Well, my official artist name is Isabel M.A.
But M.A., okay.
I seem to have fallen back on my English name, so Isabel M.A. Barclay. I'm known as Dr. B or Dr. Barclay or something when I teach.
It's the authority. Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you for being on the show. And I wanted to first ask you to, you know, just tell us your story. Share a little bit about yourself.
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm creating original music and I'm teaching singing and acting. That's from a very sort of focus point of view. I do a lot more with that work. But where I came from was a little girl who sang before she spoke, who begged my mother to take me to dance classes, and that was probably my happiest time, dancing. I really wanted to be a dancer, a ballerina.
Wow.
That didn't work out because of illnesses. And then I kind of felt like I wasn't allowed to be a singer or a dancer or an actress. So, yeah. Well, yeah. Teachers and school can be very strange. They're getting much better these days, but that sense of, oh, you know, she's a little bright one, so she must do the academics and she must work hard. What business has she got doing music or art or whatever?
Right.
So it was actually only when I was 27 that I finally said, hang on a moment, you know, I must be crazy not singing.
Wow. Yeah, I guess I've really never thought of it that way, but I guess artists are expected to be less academic, as you said.
Well, you know what? About 75% of the children I teach are dyslexic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. A lot of artists are left-handed and dyslexic. I have a brother that's
dyslexic, and it's just they all come to me. And a lot of these kids, they say, you know, oh, I'm really stupid because I got a D, or, you know, I got the lowest in the class. I must be really thick. And one of my jobs, as far as I perceive it, is to show them how brilliant they are, just that they don't fit into a particular mold of learning.
Right. Absolutely true. Very true.
Yeah. So I think I've been one of those people with, you know, one foot in one world, the academic world, because I knew it was my key to breaking the rules.
How funny.
So I did a PhD, you know, and in education. Uh-huh. It was under the title of architecture, but it was searching for brilliant models of learning. I was looking for brilliant schools around the globe.
You know, that's really fascinating to me because I have triplets. They are 32 years old right now. And I have two boys and a girl. My family is fairly artistic, but also tends to be cerebral. You know, we love to study. We're perfectionists to some degree. And, you know, we take life probably way too seriously. And ironically, I have, like I said, the three kids. And I had two that tended to be more cerebral, although they have really funny sense of humors. But I have one that works in the pharmaceutical industry, and I have one that's in the Air Force. Both perfectionists, both very high achievers. But then I have my daughter. My daughter is like this flower child, very artsy human being. And so when they were in school, my family expected all three of them to be high achievers like the rest of us were. And the boys, of course, had no problem with that. The daughter, not so much. And I finally just said, you know, she's artistic. I can relate to her 100%. I pulled her out of school, let her go to a school where it was more learning in your own way. And all of a sudden, she went from being somebody who hated school and did not do well to being a straight-A student and did fabulously because she was being taught in a more artistic and creative way. And people learn differently.
It's the environment, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And that's even though what I'm, you know, ultimately working with now is emotional intelligence, you know, acting for me, that's
right.
Understanding your emotion in order to act, and singing, that's understanding your body, you know, the whole mechanism of your body and your spirit working together is producing a song. And then if you're writing a song, it's your mind, you know, it's a wonderful collaboration of all parts.
Interesting.
Of yourself. But what I was studying earlier was the physical environment and the other adults around you and the impact of them. So I think I was just gathering gathering information so that I could sort of hold adults and children in the way that I wanted to be.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah, because it's, for, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you can be, if you want to be, you could be a star at the age of 12 if you want to be. You know, if that's what makes you feel wonderful, if you want to sing professionally, there is nothing that should stop you, no fear that should stop you. And if I can give something of that fearlessness back,
what a gift.
Which I would have to have had. You know, that's I like that.
That's beautiful. Myself. That is really beautiful. And as a coach, I look at that. I it just really touches me that you have that attitude, because how people speak to you, how people support you as you're growing up can either defeat you or really help you to succeed. And it makes all the difference in the world to have somebody like you around when you're growing up that really supports you and helps you believe in yourself and helps you overcome the fears that can be created by the world around you, the competition. And there's plenty of negativity out there if you want to look for it and if you want to let it defeat you. And then to have somebody in your life like you who helps you overcome that is just such a gift. That is really beautiful.
Oh, that's so lovely you say. And, you know, but Cynthia, it's something that I've only started to really value in myself. I've sort of had journeys of wanting to value my ability to sing or to songwrite or whatever. But now I'm starting to have that value for just this particular version of self that's here.
Amazing.
Because you realize that you are just by being completely yourself, you're making that difference to someone.
Now, what changed to make you feel that way?
So what changed that? I suppose it was that sense of, I'm not getting anywhere this way. Dead end this way. Not getting it. There must be something else here, because there is a drive inside me which is undeniable. I cannot stop this passion for what I'm doing. I can't stop writing songs. I can't stop sitting down and pouring out poetry. I just can't stop it. So if it's not going out into the world as I wished it to, you know, I'm not a mega seriously famous person. I'm a very leading edge person. Little groups of people love me and others haven't the faintest clue who I am. So it's that because of those dead ends, I had to keep turning inwards. Why? What? And it's just always about the search for happiness in the end. It's just, do I feel happy doing this? Yes, wow. No.
Yeah,
yes,
you know, that is one of the things I ask clients is, when did you feel the happiest in your life? Look back at when you were the happiest and what you were doing and why you were so happy. Why was what you were doing so fulfilling at the time? Because that's probably what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not happy now and you were happy then and what you were doing then was fulfilling, you need to really figure out, maybe you're not doing the same thing and aren't supposed to, but whatever it was that was fulfilling back then and why it was fulfilling is what you need to look at and see why you were put here on earth.
Isn't it funny the way it's always the last thing on our list? And it should be so obviously right in your face, the first thing you think about in the morning, every day.
And if you're doing the right thing, you can't help but do that. Like you said, you can't stop writing. And for me, it's the same thing. I wake up in the morning thinking about what I'm going to do today. And I'm excited about life. And it should be that way. And if you're doing what you were meant to do, I believe that that's the way it is. You don't have that choice. It's just you wake up in the morning excited about what you're going to do because you're doing what means something to you.
Yeah. And it snowballs, doesn't it? It snowballs from there. There's a kind of momentum. I was just thinking, for example, like, I've been teaching at this, it's a beautiful private school in England, one of those typical boarding schools. You know, you kind of, if you have an epitome of Englishness in a school, that's where I happen to teach.
Oh, good for you.
It's a darling place, and I've been there for 10 years, and it has a great reputation. And why am I saying this? Because I've been there, I've stuck through all sorts of ins and outs, ups and downs, just because it had a lot of goodness in it, this place, despite, you know, things that didn't work, people that were awkward, etc. I just knew that the root of it was a good place to be.
Right.
And it just builds in momentum. And I've probably got more children I'm working with there than ever before. And I'm in so demand that I can't squeeze anyone else in.
Wow.
You know, on my days. And it's just from that sense of sticking to what feels good. And yeah. Just holding religious, if that's my religion.
You know, it also has to be incredibly fulfilling to see the impact that you have on those young children.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it's so nice, isn't it? Any project, anything, you know, a little, I don't know, I paint as well, so not very much because I don't find that much time. But mm-hmm. if you paint a painting that you feel satisfied with, it gets bought by someone, you know, and it's in their house, and you meet them 10 years later and they say, oh, every time I see that painting, I think of you, and you just think, wow, that's so nice.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling of flattery and egotistic soothing. To know that, you know, that it's good to have the feedback anyway, that you're a worthy person, which we all are, you know. It's of just course. Lovely to kind of nourish that.
Well, I think as an artist too, like when you were talking about painting, when you're painting something, you're pouring out your heart and soul into it. That is you. That is part of who you are. It's your personality. It's your soul. It's your spirit. And so, yes, when somebody loves that, that's beyond just a compliment. You know, you can say to somebody, you look nice today, and that's one thing, but to actually really appreciate and love their art, you're taking on, you're loving who they are, and something that it's not even that easy to access. When you paint or when you sing, that is a part of you that the only way people can access that part of you is when you're singing or when you're painting. That is your soul. I that's how I interpret it anyway. You know, when I hear somebody's music, I can hear their soul. I can feel it. That it's an expression of them that you can't get anywhere else but in their music. So when somebody tells you they really love your music, they're telling you they love who you really are in a way that they can't in any other way.
You know the way the Mariah Careys and Lady Gagas say at the beginning or the ends of their big concerts, you know, with 30,000 people, they say, I love you guys.
Yeah.
And yes, because they do, because it's so overwhelmingly brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Part. You become a part of the other person. If they love something you produced, you're sort of, that's a link, isn't it?
It is. There's a connection there that you can't get in any other way. It is a connection. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's delicious.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, we need to take a break, but we will be back with our guest and you right after this.
More It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh is coming right up.
Hello, everyone. This is DJ Daniel. Do you need a little pick-me-up to get you to the end of your workday or to help you get ready for work? Then I invite you to tune in to Independent Corner on Indie 104. I give you 3 hours of the best up-and-coming independent artists and bands from the U.S. around the world, and from your hometown.
Hey there, everyone. This is Marija of Shadows Talk from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Hello, everyone. This is Morgan from Raven's Heart in the UK.
Hey, everyone. This is Michaela from Mount Pleasant, South Carolina.
So tune in to Independent Corner with me, DJ Daniel, every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, only on Indie 104, iRadio LA.
If you could wave a magic wand and make your life exactly what you want it to be, what would your life look like 6 months from now? If you could have your dream life, what would that mean to you? Hi, my name is Cynthia McIntosh, success coach to performing artists. My passion is to help artists answer these questions, create visions, and make their visions a reality. If you want to take your career to the next level, give us a call, 866-636-4696. And be sure to tune in to It's a Crazy World here on Indie 104, Tuesday evenings.
The internet. The new landscape continues to grow, but bad behavior in the world of social media hurts more than you think. Young people affected by online bullying and social isolation often get poor grades, have low self-esteem, skip school, and in some cases are depressed, violent, and even commit suicide. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are changing that, providing tools like 10 deep breaths to help teens manage both on land and online. Take anger down a notch and take kindness up. Beyond Differences is a peer-led group dedicated to ending social isolation, offering tools to build healthy relationships online. Learn more at beyonddifferences.org and join others in taking the pledge at wearekindonline.com.
We'll be right back. We're back with more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
Welcome back to the show. Today we are talking to Isabel Aimé. Okay.
Aimé, but a lot of people say Amy. I have French blood. Only a quarter of it is. There we
go. Okay. Yeah, I was reading on your website that you have a background from Scotland. Are you from Scotland?
No, but I studied in Scotland. I studied at the Edinburgh College of Art. So I spent about 4 years on off there. 1 year in the States, actually. I had a scholarship to Purdue University.
Oh.
Just south of Chicago in Indiana.
Good for
as well.
You.
But, yeah. Yeah, so I had my little foray into the States.
Yeah, I've always wanted to visit Scotland because obviously with the name McIntosh, you can tell that's where my family came from. My grandparents were actually from Scotland. And I've always wanted to get there. It looks absolutely gorgeous, but never been there. It's on my bucket list, along with a billion other things.
I think a romantic trip to Scotland. Weirdly, you can actually do that when it's not in the middle of summer. You can do romantic trips to Scotland if you are dressed well. Wear cashmere.
Yeah, it looks absolutely gorgeous.
Then go and get the misty, soft veils of color, because that's what it's all about.
I would love to do that someday. So you've mentioned that you were writing a book.
I'm always writing a book.
Oh, really?
I've been writing books for quite a few years. Some of them I've published, some of them haven't been published, but I always write books. I think my favorite teacher I had when I was 17, and I did a unique course with her, which was my favorite thing. It was English literature, but sort of very high level dissemination. Really, really enjoyed it. And she wrote this little note to me when I left school and said, just never forget your love and passion for literature.
Wow.
And that kind of resonated so strongly. So more and more I just write things. At the moment, I'm writing a follow-on from a radio show series that I've been doing for Lucky Star Radio, which is also American-based, but it's worldwide.
Oh, okay.
The radio show I did, I don't know if I told you about that, but it's called Transmissions from the Planet Zog.
Oh, okay. No, you never did.
No, okay. So it's a very Planet Zog, obviously, another planet. It's a planet where everyone plays music and sings, and music is an integral part of creating their daily lives.
Oh, wow.
So they know about the law of attraction. They use sound, they use songs to create what they want in life. They use sounds to express their emotion. So it's very holistic, but all based around a very clear awareness of who and what they are and their own power. So lots of stories about life on Zog. And in fact, it was based around a little girl called Isabel who wakes up when she's 8 years old and finds herself on Zog. And it's all about Zog.
So is it a children's book then? Or an educational book?
Yeah,
or a little both? Or
well, that was the radio show. So I did a whole series of that, and find Isabel and Zog helped her get back to Earth, sort of to bring all her information back to Earth. So now I'm writing this children's book. I'm not sure if it's going to be also for another radio show series or just for a book, but it's called Milo and Teal, and these are two kids who live on Zog. I wanted to talk about a different kind of experience for a child, a different kind of schooling, different kind of education, completely different, based on, you know, these kids, they build their own extraordinary tree houses, and learning for them is not in a school. You know, they laugh at us sitting at desks all
right.
doing the same. They go out and do things. If they have a project, there are adults who are there who might want to get involved. They do their own research. They don't have parents on top of them scared of what
right.
they might bump.
They learn by experience. Yeah.
They learn by experience, by doing.
Right.
And also this story, again, I wanted to make the law of attraction, which for me has been so important in understanding my own potential. I wanted to make it normal and natural, and the use of sound to use as a creation tool, you know, to create things in your life you want. So I thought, what better than to create a whole world? So Zog was the world that I based it on. And this new book is Milo and Teal, their own little experience on Zog.
How interesting. That sounds like so much fun.
It is fun. Yeah, because I just dive into their world when I start writing.
I can imagine. That is incredible. You really do have a creative mind.
Yeah, well, I just always fed it, even though I've had to complete, you know, like we all do, complete educational projects at school and do the homework and stress out with exams and so on. I always managed to keep it flowing because I knew I needed it for my survival, to be honest.
In order to pass tests, I really did not like my daughter. I tended to be a more artistic person. I did get good grades, but I'd create flashcards and I'd write songs for everything I had to remember. That's how I did it.
Well, you know, that's leading edge, you know.
It worked. Yeah, that's fascinating. That is really fascinating. I want to see that book. We'll have to have you back on the air. We'll have to have you on the show when you get that book published.
Okay.
And
great.
Introduced yeah. it. That would be really fun. I can just see what would be really fun is to have two little kids that learned the story and then did a show. That would be really fun. Is that what you do on your air, on your radio show, or how do you do the radio show?
I have been talking to some of my students because I have some very gifted students. A lot of them go on to be professional actors and singers later on. And I have got a couple in mind who I'd really like.
Oh, that would be so. How do you listen to the show? Give us the information on the show, or can you?
Yes, I can. It's an internet radio show. LuckyStarRadio.com.
LuckyStarRadio.com. I am definitely going to have to look that up. Do you have an archive of past shows that you can go to on there? Okay.
Even though I'm not writing any new stuff, well, I am writing Milo and Teal, but even though they haven't had any new material from me for a while, they keep playing replays. So Zog is still very much aired on that show.
I am so going to check that out. That sounds like so much fun. Very creative. I can't wait to look into that.
And I chose to play all the characters myself in the sort of goonish history tradition of Britain.
You know, did you?
So in that, but for Milo and Teal, I will use other children. But it's quite. Anyway, it used to make me laugh.
I bet it's going to make me laugh too. It really does sound fascinating. So you said that you have a background in speaking, singing, acting, and writing, all four?
Yeah. If I'm working with a child or an adult who has come to me for work, mm-hmm. Because they're not happy or they want to feel more confident or, they've got a great singing voice or whatever it is, I mm-hmm. will always sort of open as many doors as I can with them.
Right. Right.
So we'll learn a song, but if you write a song, you own that song and you sing it in a different way and you have access to, as you know, your rich tapestry of emotion. So if you write a song about something that feels good to you, then you're feeding yourself with goodness, you're feeding yourself with confidence, and you're telling yourself you can write a song, you're worthy. There's so many things it does. So singing someone else's song, brilliant, and learn to do it and do loads of it. But if you write a song and sing it in the same way with a script, with a play, mm-hmm. you know, learn mm-hmm. lots of screenplays and all kinds of other plays. And I'm constantly adapting from books for kids and so on. But if you write it, then suddenly you become the powerful creator. You become someone who matters. You're as important as the person who wrote that book that you thought was great. You're as important as the person who wrote that play you thought was great. You know, and I like that. I like to do that. So I lead by example. I do that stuff myself just because I know it helps me, it feeds me. That's why it's so much easier to work with kids because, okay, maybe if they don't have the confidence, at least they don't have all those filters, you know, that adults build up of like,
right,
oh, I'm not
right.
good, I can't do it. So, the more settled and at home I am with the idea, then of course it just kind of vibrates across to them, and then it's like, oh, why did I even make a fuss, you know?
Yeah.
I'll up on stage and do an improvisation and say, right, now you do your own improvisation, you know. I just one half minute, so it's something I made up on the spot, you know. So yeah, it's that kind of empowerment key. But I was thinking, Cynthia, all the albums I've written mm-hmm. were, I wrote them for myself first as pieces of music to help me.
Huh. You know, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They were all there to essentially help me reprogram my mind with the feelings I knew I wanted to substitute. So any feelings of lack of self-worth, you know, not good enough, any kind of lackful feelings. And I had a whole bunch of them. I mean,
wow.
Enormous. I mean, ridiculous, to be honest.
And those are not anywhere where other people can hear them. Those are just for you still?
No. They became, you know, the albums that then I put out.
Okay, so they are produced now. They're out there.
Yeah. If it's doing something for me, if it does something, even if it's only a small thing, but if it actually is assisting me, it could well assist others who have a similar agenda to me.
Right. That is really fascinating. And I want to talk to you. We need to take a break, but I want to go back to that subject. That is really fascinating. Okay. So I'm looking forward to talking to you more after the break. We will be back right after this.
More It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh is coming right up.
Who do you think you are to be perfect? Was it worth it? You think sometimes you have to die to get to where you want to be. It's strange to leave this life, to leave your cage. I tell you, you need to be where you want to be. If you could see it through my eyes, you'd see perfection planted here. If you could see how you fly, you'd love.
With more It's a Crazy World with Cynthia McIntosh.
So welcome back to the show. We are, again, we're back with Isabel talking about, actually, you hit on the fact that your first albums that you wrote for yourself. And I found that to be absolutely fascinating and very interesting. And so we were talking during the break about the fact that one of the things I deal with a lot with clients is negative self-talk and how we pick up as young kids how we're not good enough, what we did wrong, what we need to do, being perfect, and how we're not perfect. I did a show not too long ago about the difference between being excellent and being perfect. One you can obtain, the other one you can't. And But one of the things that I find a lot is how people wake up in the morning telling themselves how they just are not good enough. It's amazing how many clients I've worked with that feel that deal with that. And they wake up in the morning not being pretty enough, not being a good enough mother, not being a good enough student, not getting a good enough grade, not being good enough at their music. You know, whatever it is, they just feel not good enough. And so they have all this self-talk that they go through daily that's so negative. And so I tell my clients, you know, start paying attention to how you talk to yourself and about yourself, and think about how it would feel if you ran into somebody that was talking to your child or somebody you really love in the same manner that you talk to yourself. And it's really eye-opening when they start paying attention to how they talk to themselves. And so when you talked about the fact that you wrote this music in order to repeatedly put a positive message into your mind, that was really fascinating to me, because that would be a perfect way of overcoming negative self-talk.
Yeah, it was designed, I mean, obviously I do it because it feels great and I love it, but it was designed as a kind of positive feedback loop.
Right.
So you must, you know, I would wake up in the morning and probably one of my prime thoughts was a worry, which was, mm-hmm. oh my God, I don't have enough money, okay? Now, there I was, an artist. I only want to touch briefly on the sort of the past, but you know, and someone who knew that I had to be creative, that was just me. I had to be. It was in my nature, oozing from me.
Right.
And then trying to work out how to fit that into a world where you've got rent to pay and food to buy and children to clothe and feed and all the rest, you know. And so I'd wake up consumed with a worry, trying to suppress it. Mm-hmm. Knowing I wanted to create something wonderful, some beautiful piece of art. And it was like wading through the jungle of weeds and crazy worries to find this little gem of a space that I could start planting a seed of goodness. And that was creating, say, a song. So I would come up with a lyric, which I would find in a moment of inspiration, mm-hmm. yeah, that's the word to use. Use that lyric, develop it, and feel how it fed me. And then know, of course, that if I put that to music, to a sound, that's a repetitive thing. But it's not only that you hear it many times. As soon, of course, as you sing something, you're putting all your emotion into the words. They wake up, they enliven, they become something which has a real energy to them.
Right.
So your message becomes really pretty powerful, quite vital. And so if I could create something that could be powerful enough to cut through that jungle of worry, something that I felt passionate enough about to do, to persevere with, even if, say, I would create songs and, you know, it costs a fortune to run a band, to record an album, to promote it. It's just always money going out. And yet I knew all along that I had to do it because it was innate in me. It was one of my things. It was one of my talents, one of my passions. So there was a way. And it was, I used the songs to slowly feed my self-confidence, to build this sort of seed of self-worth, piece by piece by piece, song by song by song.
Right. So you're investing in yourself, basically.
Yeah. Because unless I did that, why else was anyone else gonna buy my albums? You know, why was anyone else gonna work with me? I mean, Stevie Nicks took my first album around Hollywood. This is amazing. So she was given a copy of my album by a friend, uh-huh. and she loved this album, and she listened to it loads of times and said to me that she changed the way she was writing songs as a result, which I thought was wow. So that's pretty nice. She took this album, she went around Hollywood to the different stations, the different studios, and said, you should sign this woman. And they said, no, you know, she's not hip hop, we're not interested. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, that was feedback which could have demoralized me and stopped me from doing it. But I didn't stop because I knew that even if, okay, not many other people in the world wanted to hear it or could hear it because it wasn't being promoted in that big grand scale, even if that didn't work, this music was still doing something for me because I could see the shift in myself, in my life,
right,
in my expectations, in my self-worth, in my self-belief, in the work then that I could pass on to others and see them blossoming. So it was a kind of no-brainer. Once the momentum built and built and built.
Right.
So that's what I'm still doing. And of course, yeah, everything, it shifts upwards all the time. And now I'm kind of got a similar agenda. It just widens and...
Yeah, that's yeah. I was just going to ask you, where do you see yourself, say, in 5 years? What are you working towards now?
It's interesting because these last two, I mentioned to you these two songs I've just been asked to, well, I've just written three songs recently. One was for a little village choir, which I work with, for children. They, you know, we're used to just singing pop songs, which is great. I taught them how to sing in part harmony and things. And then I said, look, why don't we make a song? So we made the song and they loved it. And they suddenly got so excited, created choreographies, and it was their song. It was their Then I have another choir, and I realized that they're in this village I live in, which is a beautiful place. It's a new place I now live in. I've only been here for 4 months and I feel so at home. And this new song was, I gathered some lyrics and ideas from everyone in the choir. And it's a song about this place, about living here, about the feelings. And I started to understand that the songs I write can have, originally they were all about building my emotional strength. And now I want to write, I'm writing songs about getting a talent, whoever wants to listen to it, getting a talent into the world. It's the kind of mechanics of relating to the world. So my scope has opened up a bit.
Huh.
And I think all the songs I will be writing and am writing are about, it's much more of a kind of, it's a bigger message. It's about using the law of attraction on an everyday basis, but I don't need to use those terms.
Right.
But it's a much more, yeah, it's a bigger vision, basically. In funny little cute songs that last 3 years. But it's a funny thing. But yeah, I just feel that it's sort of an opening up to including more people, going for maybe bigger but simple ideas as well. I think I'm going to be doing more of that.
So if you were to run into a young artist who's just getting started, and since you're a teacher, I'm sure this is easy to answer, what would be your final word of wisdom to them? What would you want to say to them?
Wake up every morning.
Well, that's a good start.
Yeah, that helps for any artist. Some of them never do. Some of them don't. They wake up in the evening. Wake up every morning and find something. Find something to feel good about. Follow that passage. And if you feel inspired to write something or to record something, do it. But make that your first priority. Because then everything you're drawn to, everything, all the people you meet to be in your band with you, or all the promoters you meet, they will also be like that. There really isn't any point working with people who are difficult and exhausting. You will work with good, happy people if you encourage that in yourself. So if you want to have a really good ride, make sure you put the happiness factor first, then the inspiration comes to that. And then any work you do will feel lighter and happier and easier and will bring those kind of people towards it as well.
Good
point.
So
the whole journey is worth it.
Right. Good point. Yeah, I tell clients that you do need to be careful about who you have around you, who you work with. And a lot of musicians, when they start a band, they just pick a bunch of friends and they, you know, put a band together with friends, which might be fine temporarily, but if you don't have the same vision, you don't have the same... lifestyle, you may end up clashing at some point in time when things start getting busier and harder, and you have to remember you're going on tour with these people, you're spending a lot of time with these people, and you really do need to surround yourself with people that do share your style of vision, at least, and understand where you want to go in life and are positive and are going to encourage you, and you're going to be able to encourage them to all become the best you can possibly be. And the people that aren't going to do that for you, you know, you don't need to diss them or not like them, but you really need to focus on being around the people that are going to help you be everything you were meant to be. And I think that's really important.
Cynthia, oh, so sorry. I was just thinking about bands and creating them and groups of musicians, and just thinking about maybe the progression from my past mentality to how I now think and feel.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I had the group of friends. of musicians around me and did my best to make it work, to make it work. Oh, really good guitarist, and he's such a good drummer, and okay, but they are kind of going in two directions, but it must work because it must. And so there was so much effort, and it was so exhausting.
Right.
Because actually, all of us, lovely as we were all on different wavelengths. And so we weren't really going to gel. And I've had to learn, and I'm learning, and I want to learn much more. And this is the next 5 years for me, is to let those people who are really, who want the same things as me to work with, and only those, and to kind of let the other stuff just ease off to the side, because I've realized I don't need to work so hard to make it right. The less hard I work, the softer my approach, and actually I will be drawn to people who are more similar to me.
Very true.
Their work. And that's it sounds so simple, doesn't it? You know, just speaking about it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it is so important. It is just so important. I know when you have a real positive outlook on life, you are drawn to people like that, and they're drawn to you. And the reverse is also true. But when you have a lot of people around you that are really positive, and they're successful, and they have figured out how to get where you want to be, they will support you, and you can support them. And when you're having a down day, it's not like you need to lie about it. They will know when you're having a down day, but they will know how to get you back up on your feet. And they will help you and support you because they understand, because they've been there. And when you have supportive people around you that are going to help you achieve everything you were meant to be, and you can do the same for them, you're going to have healthy relationships. And that is so important. It is probably one of the most important things to learn, because in the music industry especially, there are plenty of people that will take, and just destroy you. Yeah. And it can be very, very negative, but it can also be absolutely wonderful and beautiful. And if you have the right people around you, it can be exciting. And you can share visions and dreams, and you understand each other, and you understand why you're so driven, because it's you, it's your DNA. You can't stop, you know? And like you said, you couldn't stop writing and singing, or, you know, writing music if your life depended on it. Even if you never got paid for it, you would still do it. It's who you are. And it's important to be around people that understand.
But it's a funny thing that you cannot just go out and buy these people.
Oh, no.
You can just go out to the street. You can't even just put an ad. If you put an ad in, you know, whatever, some website for musicians, they're going to try to find them, to find the uplifted, positive, happy people. You can't do it that way. And that's the funny thing, that we're so, you know, one of those things we're indoctrinated is you can go and get it, put enough effort into it, and it will work, you know. Mm-hmm. Do the due diligence, and it will work. And I realized it's not, I was such an effort-based girl, and that was my family background. It was, you know, hard work focus.
Yes.
So I'm not like that. It's just so the opposite. The more fun I have, the more relaxed I have, then I'll meet those people, the more.
Right.
So hence, you know, the songs were my step.
Yes.
And everything else I do, but my step to say, okay, I know that the people I'm currently attracting to me are not really the best kinds that I want to work with. So what can I do? I've got to bridge the gap.
Right.
So I'm going to create an imaginary system, songs, books, pictures.
That's really interesting.
And I will build the steps to what I know I want to be thinking and feeling, and therefore attracting and finding, because I know somewhere deep within me that it's my natural birthright. I just currently can't go and grab it and get it from somewhere. I have to build myself towards it.
That's really incredible. That's fascinating. It's very, you have such a positive attitude. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Well, okay, so we're coming to the end of the show, but I wanted to give you a chance. Tell them a little bit about the school that you're starting up, and how they can get a hold of you to get information on that. And
okay, well, I'm on many, many different websites, you know, all the social media. So social media, you're going to find me under Isabel MA. So that's Isabel Amy to a lot of people with spelling. then I do an odd thing, which can sometimes work against me, in that I choose unusual words. So my band name has, since 2005, when I started it, I called it Inspiration. And it's a real word, It's not used very much, but
is it really? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, it's a real word, and it's George Eliot, that brilliant novelist who is British, but her novels are still sort of listed as some of the best around the world. Really a woman, Mary Ann Evans. Anyway, she used that word in her lots of her novels. It means to enliven and encourage.
Oh, and, beautiful.
It was the name I wanted to use. So it's a bit like inspiration, but it's inspiration. It's got spirit in the word. So inspiration.biz is my website. And from there, you can go onto SoundCloud and YouTube and Facebook and whatever. But yeah, that word, inspiration, was really important to me. And I realized I've caused myself a lot of trouble because spell check turns into inspiration. And some people get it immediately, but it's just sometimes I'm a bit dogged and stubborn and I just kept it. So there we are. That's
okay, now you did tell me during the break that you were getting into helping musicians internationally through this business of yours.
Cool. Many years I've had this dream. It started with my study of education. I wanted to have an environment that I loved and felt was really creative in which to teach, because it's all very well going to a cold, sterile hall and learning to sing, or having a band rehearsal, or learning to act. But if you're in a place that's oozing with creativity and the walls have got amazing art on them and the space feels great and it's light and it smells good and all these things, if that's what I wanted. I wanted to have the full package on offer. And I now live in a glorious house, so I can have people to come and stay and do residential courses with me. And so far I've done a series of 4-day courses, and I'm going to be doing 2- and 4-day courses. And I want to open this up internationally, because people go on holidays. They can go on working and learning holidays. And the idea is to just throw out this, I can have groups come and stay with me, and I'll work with a group or with a band.
You know, beautiful. So sometimes just getting into a nice, peaceful environment where you have a positive environment like that is very healing, and sometimes that's what it takes to get away from everything, get out of LA, get out of, you know, you know, and get someplace peaceful where you can just focus, get your vision, and
inspirational as well. It's that thing, isn't it, that you were saying with children, how is it that they take on a new idea that we had earlier in this discussion? Right. And if you've got a place that has something new, unexpected, something odd, something different, and you're suddenly immersed in it, it's going to bring out a different aspect of you. It's going to help you trust yourself more, because here's someone who's trusted themselves so much so that they put their imprint very firmly on their environment. That's me. Saying, hey, ashamed of this. This is me. Come and have a look. Come and share it with you.
Well, I'm glad that This Is You has been on the show today. I really have enjoyed talking to you. We're definitely going to have to keep in touch. And thank you so much for being on the show. And please do let me know. We'll have to have you back on the show as you put this stuff together, as your books come out. I'm going to definitely have to check out your radio show. That sounds like so much fun. But I do want to thank you for being on the show. It's been very inspiring, very enlightening, and I would love to have you back on the show someday.
Oh, Cynthia, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we look forward to being here again with you next week.